You're listening to Nothing Funny About Money. I'm Matt Gorin.
And I'm Michael Thomas. Wait a minute, where's Matt?
I'm just kidding. My name's Apurva, and Matt is my partner. Matt can't be here this week because he's recovering from surgery, so here I am.
I love it. You know that Matt has a lot of confidence to allow for someone with whom he's dating to come on in his place during an episode where we're talking about money and dating. So to all of our listeners out there, you know that obviously they are doing it right. To help us with this conversation, we have our expert extraordinaire, Megan Ford, director of the Aspire Clinic. She also has a new blog.
I do. So... Hi, everyone. I'm back. It's good to be back.
Megan, we're absolutely excited to have you. And before we move forward in this process, you know, let us know what you're up to, because it seems like a lot of things are moving right now.
So I really started to run with this idea of this fusion between relationships and finances. I think they're unquestionably linked.
Absolutely.
Money in relationships. And maybe that's just my frame of reference, but I don't think that we can get into deep of conversations about these things without them intersecting
Absolutely.
Together. And so finding harmony. So
harmony. M-O-N-E-Y.
That's right.
There's not a typo or spelling error there.
Exactly.
She was very intentional.
I do know how to spell harmony. But this was really just an effort to start writing more about this fusion of money and relationships.
We also have Chris Shoup is going to be interjecting his thoughtful insights and opinions. And he's actually, he has a lot of experience.
Stop laughing.
More experience than we do.
He's our resident that generation person.
Boy. We need a dad's advice segment. I wouldn't know how to date now.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't. Whenever I talk about dating, I always preface it by saying this is way before Ashley. But I remember one time I was going out on a date with someone. And as I was leaving a friend's house to go pick up the young lady I was dating, or as Chris would say, courting at the time.
Wow.
Someone asked me where I was going. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go on a date. And she was like, people still do that?
Oh, boy.
I was like, wow. Obviously, as I'm going on this date, there are expectations that I have, something that constantly comes up. Who pays?
That's like, easy. If you're going on a date now, yes. The parents pay.
That is true.
That's the way
Lots
it works.
Lots of kids living in basements.
Yeah, the parents
you
pay.
You get your college
that's
degree, go back
in
to
the basement.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I think it depends on the kind of date. If it's going well, women want to go Dutch because it would be nice for us to, like, show our interest in this person. Usually we'll offer, but then if it's the guy is really wanting to pay, we'll be like, okay, we'll back off and you can pay.
Okay.
But if it's not going well at all, then the girl would rather have the guy pay, because it is, it's been...
You paid for my time.
Absolutely. The money part of a date is very important, because that kind of sets the tone for the relationship after the date.
Okay. Megan, what about you?
Well, you know, truthfully,
That's
it's
awkward.
Been a long time since I
so
was
you're
on
my
the
vote.
Dating scene as well. I'm about to celebrate my 9th wedding anniversary. So it's been a while for me, too. And I think that times have changed, as you said, a lot. I'm trying to, like, put my dater hat on right now. If you're sitting at a restaurant, you know, the check comes, pausing at that moment and just saying, like, how would you like to split this
see,
evening?
So right? You're good at framing stuff like that in a way where you make people feel comfortable with doing something that they otherwise wouldn't feel comfortable with.
Right.
But that, to me, like, that would be incredibly awkward.
Right.
And to come out and say, well, you know, I want to offer you the opportunity. Do you even say that, Chris? Like, I want to offer you the opportunity to pay for your meal.
No.
I'm Irma. Like, I'm struggling here.
I just expect them to pay no matter what. That's the way I handle it. I just figure, you know, if you're going to.
Right, the few times that you've gone out on mandates.
That's
you've
right.
Been
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're going to.
Bill,
you're
going to pick
that's
up
right.
the bill.
Bill is going to pay for the bill. That's the way it works.
I think the reason it's so awkward is because so much of it is like these unspoken expectations that we haven't learned how to call out, or it doesn't seem socially appropriate to be like pretty transparent about that in that moment. So I think that it's like these unspoken things are all swimming around, like, should I grab my wallet? Should I grab my purse to show that I'm, you know, mm-hmm. willing to pay half? What's he thinking? What's she thinking?
Right. I think one of the ways of combating that awkward situation is to go to a restaurant where you pay before you eat. But that is kind of a cheap first date.
You would be thinking, nope. So if Matt had tried to pull something like that off, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
That's so interesting. I was thinking, just as you said, like a cheap first date, like we really assign value to ourselves by how much someone is willing to spend on us sometimes. Like if we have that perspective of like, oh, he's taking me to, you know, a Burger King, I must not have a lot of value, you know, so there's like, it's all tied together. Like these assumptions about how valuable we are tied into how extravagant this dating relationship may be.
Yeah, there goes our endorsement for Burger King.
I know, right?
Sorry, I just, Burger King.
I did a little snooping around to see if there were any surveys or polls out there that would say, all right, just to end this debate, NerdWallet actually did a survey of 1,000 people and found that 77% of them believe that a man should pick up the tab.
That is interesting.
On a date.
Wow.
Interesting. I know.
I would really like to see some research on same-sex couples.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, how they navigate that.
Because you would think that she'd have to be a little bit more open and
honest
about the conversation.
Can you just take it as simple as the one who is pursuing is the one who pays? So if I'm going to take you out, then there's sort of an assumption that I'm taking you out to dinner. You use the antiquated term courting, courting from back in my day. But if you're going to court someone, then you are pursuing them. And in that, there's sort of an expectation of I'm going to take you to dinner, and so I will pay. Now, if I'm being pursued, someone comes to me and says, hey, I'd like to take you out to dinner. Well, I kind of think, okay, you're going to pay then. You're taking me out.
It
doesn't
implicit.
Matter if it's male or female.
Yeah, it's implicit in that proposal that, like, I will be treated.
That's right.
I will be taken out, and so thus I will not have to pay necessarily. Yeah. I kind of agree with that.
Apurva, can I ask you something?
Yes.
You're from India,
right?
So if we bring a more of a global perspective into this, are folks in India struggling with some of the same conversations that we're having now?
I think because the country that I come from is very patriarchal, the pressure of paying for the meal is on the man. But that being said, new India and progressive India is very different. I have seen some of my friends indulge in going Dutch or paying half. Mm-hmm. That's very common, especially in college students.
Okay.
And even amongst working professionals, I think the pressure is slowly easing off of men and is being evenly distributed between the two genders. I think also women are now taking the power out of men's hands. And they're like, well, I want to make sure that I am not under any obligation for a second date. So
Absolutely.
There we go. Here's my credit card. We're going to go Dutch.
So what we're seeing is that there's this emergence that's happening where women are reclaiming more of their power in this scenario that is dating.
Right.
From a guy's perspective, there are still a lot of things that we're dealing with as well as we're noticing that these things are happening and how to more effectively navigate the power dynamic and how things may come off. So there's this idea that Matt and I were kicking around with, and Purba, I know that you're aware of. It's like this escalating dating plan versus de-escalating dating plan. And the idea here is that on the initial date, you do coffee like a first date. You do something really, really small. So it's just very low bar, low expectations.
Right.
Not going to a movie where you don't talk to the person for 2.5 hours watching, you know, a Marvel Cinematic Universe type theme thing.
I'm that person. What did he say, honey?
Versus a escalating or a de-escalating, which is what we kind of do now, is where people spend a lot of money on the front end early on, and then it kind of levels off over time as you get more comfortable.
Right.
So you're showing actually less interest with how you're using your money and your time.
Right.
As opposed to as you see something progressing of more value, you're actually doing more.
Right.
But one of the things that a lot of us guys deal with is we're afraid even to do something like that. Very low bar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The fear of feeling cheap.
Right. When it comes to me and Matt, we started with escalating. Our first few dates were extremely exciting. We did a lot of big things. We did different things like dancing, dinner, movie, jungle gym, all sorts of crazy things. And I wouldn't like to say that it de-escalated, but we've definitely started in a very high place because I think very non-verbally we both were very, very interested in each other. So we were like, I want to know everything about this person right from the beginning. Like, let's remove all the closet skeletons, all the closet shoes, bags, all of that needs to come
out.
You
keep bringing up shoes and bags, Aparva.
It's real life.
I'm thinking that is actually speaking to some real stuff that's going on. Poor man.
It's real life.
So let's take cheap out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what are some ways to be creative and be frugal, I guess, if that's a better word?
Zumba. That's a good date. Like, go
Chris,
to a Zumba
I could
class.
So see Chris in some tights.
Megan, what do you
Zumba.
Think?
Oh, the Zumba thing is giving me a like a complex over here. Showing your dance skills on the first or not.
Maybe that's a little, that's even worse than money, right? It's like, I do not want to ruin this by.
And Zumba can get sexy depending on the Zumba class. Mm-hmm. So you
hot Zumba?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that could be a real like builder of the relationship or a real like, ooh, this is tanking.
How about a hike somewhere?
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, I mean, you really get a chance there to work together towards a goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's certainly you wouldn't want it to be a really complicated hike, but you're still trying to get somewhere together.
Right.
You might have to work together to figure out how you get there.
Right.
And then on top of that, you got all the time in the world to talk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And yet you're not necessarily staring at each other uncomfortably across a dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
You're hiking and walking and just talking, and then at the same time you have things to look at and comment about.
I'm really into the little paint things that you can go do that are
paint and sip,
or go do something like create something together, or whatever it may be. It allows for you to be, I guess, a little bit creative.
Mm-hmm.
You get to make something
mm-hmm.
that you actually get to keep,
right?
And it's a memory, like you're talking about. It's like you're creating a memory.
Absolutely,
you're being silly. Both of you are gonna fail at that thing when it goes round and round and round, and you're trying. So you're gonna fail in front of each other and just kind of laugh it off and kind of enjoy the process.
As we're talking, it's something just popped into my head, and I don't know if this would be for everyone, but if you have a particular like cause or association or organization that you're really passionate about, you know, bringing them to volunteer with you.
Or,
you know, like, because I think that really shows a part of who you are. Yeah, again, there's things to engage with,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an event or, you know, another group of people, if it's walking dogs
right.
or something
Absolutely.
For the Humane Society.
Absolutely.
You know, it gives you an opportunity to show something that you're passionate about
especially
to that person.
If you're an animal lover and the person that you're dating has not really told you that they don't really like the pictures of your dogs all over the place, that would be a great way to weed somebody out. And that's actually a great segue into the break when we come back and explore this a little bit further, money and relationships and dating. So you all come back after the break.
Support for Nothing Funny About Money comes from Elwood & Getz Financial Planning and Investments. As fee-only financial planners, they are fiduciaries to their clients. That's ELWOODGOETZ.com.
You're listening to Nothing Funny About Money on WUGA Athens,
91.7 and 94.5 FM.
I'm Matt Gorin.
And this is Michael Thomas.
Visit us on campus at the Aspire Clinic.
Or online at nothingfunnyaboutmoney.org.
Support for Nothing Funny About Money comes from UGA's Department of Financial Planning, Housing, and Consumer Economics, providing teaching, research, and outreach to support families and communities' economic well-being. FHCE.UGA.edu.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Check, please.
Oh, wait, no. I think I'll pay for my own meal.
No. The pleasure is all mine. Trust me.
But I really think I should pay for my own meal.
Oh, don't worry about it. I have plenty of money.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I cover lunches and dinners with colleagues all the time. This meal is nothing.
Well, okay, if you insist.
I do insist. This meal is just a drop in a bucket for me.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, there's no need to thank me. Honestly, if you were with me, you wouldn't have to worry about a thing.
Is that so?
Yeah, I make more than enough for the both of us.
How do you know that you earn more than me?
Come on, everybody knows that women don't earn as much money as men. Yeah, if you were my woman again, you'd have no concerns except for raising the kids. That's all I would ask of you.
Wait, you're serious?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be serious? Every woman wants a man who knows how to take control.
Yeah, I'm not that type of woman.
All right, come on now. Once you get used to this lifestyle, you will...
Excuse me, sir, but your credit card was declined.
Declined?
Yes, declined. Would you happen to have another form of payment?
I don't. Can you excuse us for a quick sec, please?
Wait, hey, you don't have to leave. I'll just take care of the bill.
You don't have to do that.
Well, how else are we going to pay for this drop in the bucket? Here you go, sir.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
I guess this means that we won't be going on that second date?
Yeah, actually, I made that decision hours ago.
We're talking about the earlier phases of dating.
Yes.
You have to move along the timeline a little bit in the relationship to be confronted with different kinds
Absolutely.
Of money circumstances. So, like, the first date is one thing, but then it's like, okay, well, if we're going to take this to the next level, potentially start to share expenses, that's really where you, I think, start to see some of the realness come about and thus some of the conflict.
And you see me smiling here, Megan. Right?
I do.
Because
you're grinning.
People share a lot more intimate things
mm-hmm.
on a first date or within the first few dates. We'll talk about our career goals and aspirations and
we'll
whatever.
We'll talk about our past relationships
we'll talk about,
and how messed up
And the
up
details
they were.
Of those, like, yes, but money is the very last thing.
We still cringe
that,
a little
that
bit.
People will want to talk about when we share all these other intimate things. Maybe if we kind of like step back a little bit, right? We're not trying to put the expectation out there that on date 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, that you have to have the money thing all figured out. What if you all learned from your experiences in terms of addressing that intimacy thing? What maybe kept you from having the conversation that you had to get over in order to have the conversation?
Well, for me, I think it's sort of a train wreck. I'm bringing the past generational viewpoint. We're going back in the Wayback Machine.
Way, way back in my
to
day.
To the 1980s,
we used
kids.
To court.
Yeah,
we didn't date.
But the idea was simple. We're out of college. We got nothing. We got to get this job or this job, and we together are driving this train up the hill together.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, we will make decisions somewhat haphazardly, sort of out of desperation. Like, we want this. This job's not giving it to us, so we still want it. So maybe we get that, and we really can't afford it. So now we have to work harder and more, and then that puts strain on our relationship.
That's
and we're both
point.
Doing this, and we're trying real hard to get this. And then, oh, we want to have a kid, and, oh, well, that costs money. And then on top of that, that takes
Preach.
Time. And then so one of us probably should not work if we really want to do this the way our parents taught us to do it. And so one of us has to stay home, and the other one has to work three times as hard to be able to make sure that that happens for this person. And then by the time you get to that, you're so freaking exhausted that you're not sure you've done anything. Right at all.
You know what's funny about that is that Ashley and I, now when we have alone time, like, babe, what do you want to do? I want to take a nap. I'm like, you know what? I want to take a nap too. And that's pretty much, that's our date night sometimes. Like, we just go to bed.
Yeah.
But that's a great point, though.
Y'all are living the snug life.
That we are living the snug life. Again, another t-shirt. Amazing ideas.
It can work even without money.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that having a plan and really sitting down and having a structured plan, you need to plan for what you want. Instead of just, I want that, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Plan for that. How are you going to get there?
Okay.
Even if it's the overall success in your mind, monetary success is way up here. Well, okay, how are you going to get there?
Absolutely.
You can't just say, that's what I want to do.
You have a son and a daughter, correct? Would you say that you're having the same type of conversation with the both of them and emphasizing the same thing?
Yes.
With the both of them in terms of like the plan conversation with my son.
Yeah.
It's the same exact plan conversation with my daughter.
It is. And yet there are some I'm going to be very transparent here.
I like it.
There are some
I like it.
Snaps.
There are some really primitive sexist
notions
webs in the coffers of my mind that are still there. Okay. The idea that, well, someday somebody's going to come along and take care of my little girl. Mm-hmm. And someday somebody's going to come along and my son going to need to take care of him or her mm-hmm. or her and him. I don't know. We're in a different age. It could be either one. Yeah. So
I like that you're conscious of it.
I am.
Yeah.
Because and quite frankly, I find myself being a little Helen Reddy on this issue in that I want my daughter to be educated. So you go to college to be educated. But I want my daughter to go to college so that she can be successful on her own.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I want her to feel that and know that and never have to feel like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do because that date didn't work out. I'm a failure because I can't seem to keep somebody around very long. Mm-hmm. So what? Maybe you won't. You know? Be comfortable in who you are and find power in knowledge and your own success.
I love it.
I think that's the best foundation that you're ever going to find when you're finding harmony.
Love it.
You have to know yourself, your vulnerabilities, your past experiences, your future hopes and desires, and you also have to be accommodating to the other party if they, you know, experienced something different from you. And that's really what it's all about. I think the core of a good relationship is respect and accommodation.
I love it.
For the other.
I love it. I like to do things in Excel, and my wife likes to do things paper and pencil. And I used to get so frustrated early on because I'm like, well, if we just did it in Excel, we can sum all of our columns and rows and then we can link these things together and we can always keep track of in a touch of a button or whatever it may be. And it used to drive me crazy. But what I've learned over the years is that she is incredibly effective at doing it the way that she is effective at doing it. And she doesn't have to do it my way for us to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the biggest hurdles that I had to get over because, like, you have to do it my way, or this is how I learn, or I'm in a PhD program for X, Y, and Z. But she brings a lot to the table and has actually helped us move further along in ways that I couldn't have moved us further along. And she does it paper and pencil.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just had to step back and say, you know what? We can sit down together, do the budget, and I have my laptop, and you have the paper and pencil, and that's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I feel like that's growth.
Yeah.
Purple, did you have something in terms of maybe a money hurdle or something that, you know, in the dating phase of things that you're like, you know, this is something that I had to learn to get over to be better in relationship?
I think with Matt and I, it's been pretty open. We've talked about money right from the beginning, and we've talked about money pretty often. And we've been very open about how much money will bring how much worth of experience to us. So we've kind of
money and happiness
tried
idea.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. And just going for a run brings us more happiness than actually going on an expensive date. So we found these little things that we do that experiences matter more than the money that you want to spend. But yes, we have gone on expensive dates and we have had experiences that were possible because we spend the money. But we've also had extremely inexpensive dates where there was one night where he's like, no, hurry, we gotta go. And he drives us to this isolated park in the middle of nowhere in a part of Athens that I don't even know. And he told me that there is a new jungle gym that is opened in that part of the park that has not yet been desecrated
like that.
With little kids and their fluids. So we can go and enjoy that before the kids can take over. So we went into that area. We put on the flashlights in our phones in our pockets, and we were just playing around like kids under the stars.
Cue the chirping birds.
I know, right?
Wow. Well, I guess the violins.
Yeah. I had a last question for
Megan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it.
So have you ever had, in your financial counseling experience, had couples come in where there was a financial disparity between the couple? And I'm talking about early stages of dating, when one of the two people dating found out that the other person is either wealthier or not as wealthy.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that dynamic very early on in the dating relationship, because oftentimes, as Michael said, they don't come to me as a financial therapist until it's like, yeah, like we're really struggling around this issue. So it's interesting, an idea like that is interesting, that like, what if a couple came to sit down with a financial therapist very early on in that relationship and explored that and tried to have more conversations productively about that. What your question triggered for me a little bit was an experience that I had with a couple who were about to enter marriage. So they had been engaged for a while, and we started to talk in our sessions about finances, because that's one of the things that I like to hit head on with premarital couples. I'm like, look, we need to have a discussion.
We'll spend $30,000 on a wedding, which is the average, and we'll balk at the idea of maybe spending $100 or $200 to do what you're talking about,
right?
That actually has huge implications on the success of your relationship. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's kind of, that's a whole nother show about how much we spend on weddings.
Right.
But, you know, the interesting thing with that couple was they were, you know, probably 8 weeks out from their wedding, and I engaged them around this topic, and they both started to get extremely uncomfortable.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, okay, you know, there's something here. And so I started to ask a few more questions. And
don't ask.
They said to me, we haven't had any conversations around that. At this point, they didn't know how much one another made.
That blows
my
mind.
Yeah, for their annual income. And so, you know, sometimes that could be alarming for some couple, and clearly it was causing some discomfort for them, right? Because there was this idea that they should know that, but they didn't know how to talk about that together in a way that maybe felt productive or felt safe. And so it was very interesting trying to engage them in that topic and in that conversation, because, you know, it was just not something I think they felt like we might approach together in our sessions. And that level of transparency can vary couple to couple, right? There's no one-size-fits-all prescription for couples at any phase.
Megan, Apurba, Chris, this is good stuff. And we're definitely going to have another town hall discussion. We're probably going to need to bring some more people in here to talk about what we need to be talking about as it relates to dating and money, relationships and money, generally speaking. And actually, I think that's it for this episode.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. A special thanks goes out to our special guests, of course, Dr. Apurba Banerjee.
Thank you.
And director of the UGA Aspire Clinic, and also the founder of the blog Finding Harmony, M-O-N-E-Y, Megan Ford. We'd also like to thank executive producer Chris Shoup, audio engineer Garrett Burke, and you, our audience, for making Nothing Funny About Money possible. And until next time, peace.
You've been listening to Nothing Funny About Money. I'm Matt Gorin.
And I'm Michael Thomas.
This program is made possible by the College of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Georgia in cooperation with WUGA.
For more information about our program, visit us online at nothingfunnyaboutmoney.org.
Or need help? Get it. Visit us on campus at the Aspire Clinic.
Thanks for listening.